Lord, as we are gathered here today, we ask that what we hear, what we say, what we do, may all be in your name, now and always. Amen. Majority of our faith, and that's why we have to have faith, is a mystery. Very difficult to prove. We celebrated the Ascension on Thursday, and today we heard the reading, the Ascension of Jesus. And it's a mystery, isn't it? It's not something that our natural world experiences regularly, or that our scientific knowledge understands. That's, of course, unless you're a Trekkie and see it as "Beam Me Up, Scotty." And the only person who gives an account of it is Luke. And he wasn't there. So what happened? Luke has everything to do with the post-resurrection period happening in Jerusalem. In fact, he reports that Jesus ordered his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, which paradoxically is not what Matthew says. He says that an angel ordered the women to tell the disciples to return to Galilee, and reports that Jesus meets his disciples there. The Ascension is only reported by Luke, and we are told takes place at Bethany near Jerusalem. Luke finishes his gospel with the Ascension, begins his Acts with the Ascension. It's a bit like, you know, when you watch a serial on the television and you come to the second or the third part and it says "previously," and then you get a little resume. That's what he does. And both accounts are full of symbolism. And this is what we have to remember. The Bible is not a literal report, but is symbolic and allegorical. Both accounts suggest there is a divine presence. And the question of the presence in Acts of the two men who we heard just now in verse 10 harks back, if you remember, to the two at the empty tomb reported by Luke, hinting that as the resurrection wasn't immediately believed, so the Ascension is not self-evident to those disciples, even those standing there who look in amazement. We are dealing with a mystery here, and no written account can fully exhaust the significance of what Luke is trying to relate. It can only point us to the significance as Luke saw it and leave us to draw our own conclusions. Both accounts have Jesus exhorting them to stay in Jerusalem, as I said, and await the gift of the Holy Spirit before they set out to tell the world of what has happened. And as we heard this morning, they still have this idea, this notion of Jesus being the Messiah Israel has been expecting, liberating them from the oppression of subjugation to those who have invaded their homeland. Still, the true meaning of Jesus' mission and God's plan is not fully understood. In Acts, Luke suggests that Israel's liberation comes about, but in a surprising way. The ideas that are to spread out from Jerusalem, the central place of Judaism to this day, will in fact sow the seed of a greater Israel, not of circumcised orthodoxy, but of liberated peoples of every race, of every colour. The gospel of salvation is for all, not exclusive to one group, as the Jews believed. And as St. Paul says in his first letter to Timothy, God is the Saviour of all people, especially those who believe in him. But he doesn't say exclusively. So the disciples are to be patient and wait for the Paraclete to empower them to continue God's plan of the world. And then we heard from John. We turn to that and Jesus' long prayer for those he is to leave behind. Again, this is John using Jesus' ideas to explain who and what he is. May I remind you again that Jesus never wrote anything down. And what we have are people's accounts of their understanding, which vary, as do our understanding. The gospel was written at least 70 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and well after Luke's accounts were known. So although John does not describe the ascension, and in many ways does not always describe what we read in the synoptic gospels, he expects the people who read his gospel already know that. Because he writes it not for non-Christians, he writes it for Christians. John wants us to look beyond the cross and the resurrection to the time when Jesus is no longer present, enabling, by being not here, salvation, enabling the gift of eternal life to be available to all. To the Word, as John calls it, the Logos, the Word, returning to where it always existed in glory with the Creator Father since before the universe began. Jesus' time, the Word's time, on this small rock is coming to an end. What he wants to leave behind is not a human organization, but a heavenly entity, open to all. Many parts of John's gospel, he uses the words when Jesus is speaking, "I am," which harks back to Moses and the burning bush. When Moses is given the task of going to Egypt, he says, "Who shall I say sent me?" God answers him, and he hears it, and says, "Tell them, I am has sent you." I am. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, who was and is to come, the actual future, unchangeable, all-sufficient and eternal God, who alone has his being in and from himself and gives to everything else its being. Everything is dependent on him, the Word, the Logos, as John explains at the opening of his gospel. Here, the Word, the Logos, appeared as Jesus of Nazareth. But I am sure the Word has made itself known in many places in this vast universe created by God. Wherever creatures have said to themselves, "I think, therefore I exist," and question the meaning of what life, their life, is all about, then I believe the Word, the Logos, will make itself known to them, because they'll be seeking it. So what does all this mean to us here today? The mystery of an all-loving God who came to this world to give us life has engendered in us a faith. G.K. Chesterton says, "Faith means believing the unbelievable. Hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless." And because there is so much mystery that we find hard to understand in our belief, we need faith. And that faith produces in us a hope, the that we can share in the promise made by God to us of eternal life. And all this is comprehended by one thing, love. Faith, hope, and love. These three. And in the end, when faith is comprehended by sight, and hope by the eternal joy of receiving God's promise, then what is left? What is needed? Nothing but love. Not fear, but love, which comprehends the other two. So let us leave here today in the faith of the risen, ascended Lord, sharing in the hope of eternal life for all, and love our neighbours, even those who are different to us, and in some cases are our enemies, as ourselves. For after all, isn't that what the Master commanded us to do before he left us? Amen.